Thank you, Kent and Barbara, for our music tonight. Welcome to those of you joining us on live stream on our Sunday night service. This is the Lord's Supper service for us here at the church, and so my message will be directed toward that, and then we will be receiving the Lord's Supper, of course, after our live stream broadcast. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that is my text for tonight. You notice the title on your bulletin, if you have it, or on your screen, is The Lord's Death. And I want to emphasize one of these words in our text, 1 Corinthians 11, and let me read from verse 23 to 26. These are words that I always read as we take the bread and the juice at the Lord's Supper. 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then verse 26 is my text for tonight. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let me give you a quiz tonight as we begin. Five-question quiz, all right? Number one, what is the gospel? Could you define it? Could you explain it to someone? What is the gospel? Let me put it to you in a nutshell, see if you answered something like this. It is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, that he died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. If that did not happen, we have no gospel. We have no eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Christ is not risen, then our faith is vain. And so the answer to number one is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is why we are here tonight to do what we're about to do in the Lord's table. Question number two, what is the oldest or first time the gospel was ever preached? Could you answer that? Here's the answer to that. In the upper room with Jesus, when he instituted this supper and he proclaimed that this bread represents his body and this juice represents his blood, is the first time the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was preached verbally out loud on this earth. We'll do that tonight in just a moment. Question number three, where can a person hear the gospel preached? Where can a person go to hear the gospel preached? Well, I hope a lot of places. But you know where a person can hear the gospel preached tonight? Right here in this auditorium. Right here tonight, and about what we're going to do, you can hear the gospel preached like it was the first time. Number four, how often has this been done? Now you're kind of catching on, huh? How often has the gospel been preached? No doubt, many times. But wherever there's been churches, whenever there have been churches, one of the commands for the church is to take the Lord's Supper. The other ordinance of a command is to baptize our converts. And so as often as people have gathered together, and as often as they do it, they preach the gospel by doing what we're going to be doing tonight, and that is symbolizing the death and the blood, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how often has it been done? A lot of times for 2,000 years. So last question, when is the next time the gospel will be preached in this manner? And the answer is in a few minutes. As we do this one more time. Now notice in that last verse, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That expression, as often as you do it, was also mentioned about the cup in verse 25. As oft as you drink it, you do it in remembrance of me. And so a church can decide. Some churches do it every month. Some do it quarterly. Some do it less often, even more often. But as often as a church does, we're to preach the gospel by doing these symbols that we have before us, which we will do tonight. It's interesting that this kind of statement was made in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 26, 29, Jesus said at that Last Supper, "I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Has the kingdom of God come yet? No. And so will we still be doing this? We still will. Mark records those words this way, "Surely I say to you, I will no longer drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Luke said it, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the vine, fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God comes." And so here, Paul simply puts it down, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so we're to proclaim it, we're to preach it this way until Jesus comes. So you are going to be preaching the gospel tonight, not just me. And you will be doing it in the most primitive, historical way that the gospel has ever been preached, and that is through the symbols of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So notice these things. I have four thoughts from this verse in verse 27, that the death of Christ that we're talking about, according to Paul here, as he sums up what the Lord has said, is first seen in the bread that we eat. So back to verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, mostly quoting out of the book of Luke here, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This bread that we will eat symbolizes the body of Christ. It is not the body, it's bread. The Roman church and others make that mistake of thinking that actually you can turn this bread into the flesh and the juice into the blood of Jesus Christ. That is not correct in any sense of the way. And if you do that, you're simply crucifying Christ anew. You're crucifying him again. Some believe that that Jesus is somehow spiritually present in the bread and the juice, and he comes into us as we eat it or drink it. Not so. Do this in what? Memory of me, in remembrance. This is simply a memorial, and this bread that we will chew up in our mouth simply represents the body of the Lord that was broken, that is crucified for us. The body of the Lord represents his incarnation. This was God who became flesh, if you remember. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And so he did that so that he would be our sacrifice. As a matter of fact, Paul concludes in Philippians there, "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." He was our sacrifice on the cross because he bodily became one of us and lived a sinless life so that he could be our sacrifice, because we couldn't do that. We're not sinless. And he did that for us. And so this bread, he says, is my body. This is what happened to my body on the cross. Jesus made the statement, "I am the bread of life." Remember that? And John records in John chapter 6, when Jesus was making that, he said to the Jews, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." And so this body that he had, that he lived in, this sinless body, was given as a sacrifice for that. So our eating of it, that is the physical act that we will do, as they did in that upper room at that Last Supper, pictures our placing of our faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. the fact that we are taking that and we are digesting it, that as the Lord put it in John 6, if you eat of me, he was talking about that faith that we have in him. And so as we do this, we're picturing our faith that we have placed in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of his body. That's essential to the gospel. That's a key to the gospel, that he lived in a sinless body and died for us on the cross. So the death of Christ is first seen in the bread that we eat. Secondly, it's seen in the cup which we drink. So in verse 25, Paul is recording it this way, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it," again he says, "in remembrance of me." So the blood of Christ is that represented by that juice that we will drink. You remember that first Passover, don't you, when the blood of the lamb had to be put on the doorpost to cover those that are in the house. And if the blood was covering you, then the death angel passed over you. And in the very similar way, the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life and our heart lets the death angel pass over us so that we have eternal life. He says it's the new covenant in my blood. We as the church get to participate in the blessings of the new covenant. That new covenant, Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 28, these passages were given to the Jewish people, promising that Jesus would one day establish his kingdom on the earth. And remember, I read to you those verses where Jesus said, "I will eat this later in the kingdom of God." That's true. But what you and I get to participate in is in the blood of Christ. And in the foundation of that, we get to come to Christ believing in him, having his blood cleanse us from all sin, so that you and I will be in the kingdom of God too. You and I have eternal life through the promises that he made to Israel and to the world in that new covenant. So this blood is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you, for each one of you. And I like a verse in Hebrews 9:15, which says, "For this cause he's the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." We are the called of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called by the gospel. We belong to him. And therefore, we have an eternal inheritance because of this new covenant and the blood of the covenant. And he said, "This is the cup of the covenant in my blood." The cup again is not the actual blood. The juice that we drink is not actual blood. We don't change it into blood. It is juice. It is grape juice, and we drink it as a picture, as a symbol of his blood. So tonight, folks, we are taking what we call the Lord's Supper. It's called a supper because it was instituted at that Last Supper, but we eat and drink. We eat from a plate and we drink out of a cup. We're doing a supper that he instituted, and we're going to use bread and we're going to use a cup, we're going to use juice, and we are going to illustrate what he did in his death, in the giving of his body and the shedding of his blood. And in doing that, we are going to give a clear, plain picture of the gospel, the clearest, the most basic picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 17 and 18, he said, "For Christ," Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Not too many people want to hear the preaching of the cross when we give it out verbally, but the church for 2,000 years has been giving out the gospel exactly the way that we're going to do it tonight, by these two symbols. And who can argue with that? If somebody came in and watched us do this tonight, they would see exactly what Jesus said about his death and his resurrection. So it's seen in the bread that we eat. It's seen the death of Christ in the cup that we drink. And then notice two more things. It is heard in the proclamation we make. So our verse again said, as oft as you eat this bread, as oft as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You preach the Lord's death. You declare the Lord's death. Kata angelo means you speak it out. You speak out the Lord's death by doing what you're doing. This is a proclaiming. You know, we have a great commission from the Lord, right? To do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. We have a command to do that. And we want people to hear when you the proclamation that is made here, we proclaim the Lord's death, means that people need to hear it. People need to see it. Hebrews 3:15 said, it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the rebellion. If you hear his voice, if someone could see what we're doing tonight, would they not be hearing the gospel? They would in that sense, because hearing in that sense means understanding it. Don't harden your hearts when you need to understand the gospel the Lord is saying. So the question is, do you understand it? I think that you do. Someone said, it is more than a remembrance for our sake. It is also a proclamation for the world's sake. And so the other reason why we come together and do this periodically is to preach, is to proclaim, is to say, this is what we believe. The Lord died for us. He was buried and he rose again for us. And so, according to this verse, we are preaching tonight. You are preaching the gospel by taking this bread and this blood that we will take tonight. So it's heard in the proclamation of the gospel. And then fourthly, it is lasting until the Lord comes. In other words, we will be doing this until Jesus comes. And as we have seen, and I already read to you, the Lord said, and the Gospels recorded it, I won't do this again until the kingdom of God. You have to be doing it. You have to be doing this as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And so we have to do this until the Lord comes. Has he come yet? No. When will he come? For us, at the rapture of the church. When the Lord comes in the air and he gathers his bride together, he gathers his church into the air, we won't need to be doing this anymore because we will see face to face. We will not need to remember this anymore. We won't need to proclaim it. We will see him face to face, and he will do the proclaiming as he returns to the earth in glory. So do this until the Lord comes. You remember these verses in Hebrews 9? Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Wouldn't it be great if he came tonight? Wouldn't it be great that for us to preach the gospel one more time and then the trumpet sounds and then we go? It would be a wonderful thing. But we will keep doing this until that time. One of my favorite pictures Anne's father and brother, and I was with them in Russia back in those early days. And one of my favorite pictures that I saw of Russian Christians was back under the Soviet Union at a Lord's table time, and they were out in the woods because they couldn't do it openly. They couldn't do it because of persecution, but they were not going to miss the taking of the Lord's table. And so this picture is of these dark woods, the trees and everything, and the snow had to be maybe 2 feet deep. I mean, it was up to above people's knees. And there's the table, just like you see this one here, there in the woods, and there's a white covering over the table, and here are a congregation of people standing up to their knees in snow because they're not going to miss the proclamation of the gospel at the Lord's table. That's one of my favorite pictures. My other favorite picture was a lake that was frozen over with ice, and they had taken a chainsaw and cut a rectangle out of the ice so they could baptize in the water. So you don't have it so bad as you think you have it, is it? For us to proclaim the Lord's death tonight is not so hard on us. But will we do it until we die? And will we do it until the Lord comes? Would we do it under persecution? Would we do it if it was hard to do and it was uncomfortable to do? The Lord commanded us to do it. We're so blessed to be able to do it like we're doing tonight, and I'm thankful for it. But I hope we can all say, yes, we will. We will do it regardless of what happens. So that's my message before we go to the Lord's table. Are you ready to do this? Look also at verse 27 and 28 with me. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, it's not fitting for us to have unconfessed sin, to be living in sin that we know about and have not confessed that and turned that over to the Lord. Then we're in a way, if I can use a strong word, almost mocking the process that we're actually doing tonight. But let a man, a woman, human beings, examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I can't do that for you. Your neighbor can't do that for you. You must examine yourself and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for a sinless body and blood that was shed for me, that you died on the cross for me. So, Father, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my faults. Restore my fellowship with you again tonight as I take this and proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So let's pray before we go to the Lord's table here tonight. Let's pray together. Father, this is a special time for us, and we have often come to this table, and we're thankful that we can, knowing Christ as Savior, having professed our faith in water baptism. We come here, Father, as your children who know what it is to believe in Christ. And we have done this often, and we gladly do it again. And Father, may we always be faithful enough to proclaim and preach the gospel in this manner until Jesus comes. So bless tonight, Father. Search each one of our hearts because you know us and you know what we need to say to you. And then, Father, help us as we take these elements that they would have a special meaning and effect and a blessing in our heart. But then also, Father, that we proclaim, we preach the gospel by doing this tonight. So we thank you for these blessings, and we ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, deacons, if you would come, we'll prepare the Lord's table.